Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You damn Skippy, we starting now. Happy Wednesday to you. You are indeed in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 and a little bit of a homecoming, which is funny because of all the people, I am the person who least understands this. And so this might make it the most fun today. Paul Gallant sitting side saddle with me, filling in for the OG John Lopez. Of course, Figgy Fig on ones and twos making it sound good. Let's have a little fun today.
Let's have some fun. Reggie, it's great to sit with you in studio for more than 5 minutes because it's basically NRG Stadium cafeteria fist bumps.
That's right. Just as we're filling our face with fantastic food at halftime or at training camp. Just
quick what's up, man?
Yeah, exactly. Quick conversation, watching the running backs warm up. And now it's 4 hours of radio, baby, on a Wednesday, in a week in which I might have lost my faith in the Texans, right? It feels like the right time, right? It felt like the right time to do it. I'm excited, man. I'm excited for this. How does it feel for you? Because obviously for you, this is the bigger deal.
It's wild. I'm very happy. I'm very grateful to everyone here. I'm glad I did not burn any bridges. I wasn't sure if I did. So it's great to be back. I hope that this is not a one-time thing, but we're going to have a lot of fun over the next 4 hours. To what you were saying about the Texans, yeah, I totally understand that lack of faith. I imagine you are not alone. I think a lot of people are questioning everything top to bottom right now, and I think that's totally fair to do.
Let's do some questioning today. We'll get to that. I'll kind of want to get a gauge of what the listenership feels, and there's one way to do that, or there's a few ways actually to do that, because you can get involved with the program. The text line, 713-572-4610. Text in, let us know how you feel.
Remember that number.
From the 832. Is this the Paul Gallant? I believe so. That "the," by the way, feels like it's foreshadowed or like harkening back to some things. So I'm excited to learn more about those from the 713. Wow, I can't believe a Gallant and Sideshow Reggie. Yes, I do have my hair down. It's a momentous occasion if you decide to watch us on the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers live streams. I caught you off guard, didn't I? Yeah, Fig, I got
I'm
you.
I'm ready.
You got
ready,
me on your
man.
Toes, big dog.
Yeah.
The YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, is where you get in with us. A lot of people excited for this there. And then also there's the Twitch chat. 610 Houston is where you can see it as well. We will talk about the Texans. However, the start of the NBA season was last night, and front and center was on ring night, where your Houston Rockets playing. I kind of hate when people use this, and of course, I will be my biggest enemy in this instance.
World champs.
Instant classic.
Oh, instant classic.
That one felt like an instant classic of sorts. 125-124. Unfortunately, a loss to Oklahoma City Thunder, but it gave us a lot of data points. The Rockets are back, baby.
Thank God, because between what the Texans have been to open up this year and how the Astros closed out this season, I needed to watch sports that are fun to watch. And I knew going into overtime, no matter what the outcome was going to be, that I could walk away from that game that we saw them play against the defending champs happy, because it was just different. Monday night was so bad and it was so late. This game lasted a while, but it was fun stuff.
Yeah, they were trying to rival the Texans for end time.
It was an NFL length game, yes.
Honestly, like overtime, because yesterday I talked with Lopez and I was like, one thing I hope for this game is that it's close to show us some things. I think we got that. But even well before that, I got some real takeaways from a game one in a way that I don't think you typically can expect in basketball. It's 1-82, and especially with you bringing in some new pieces, having to find a dynamic on this team without one of the foundational pieces that you were expecting in Fred VanVleet, I learned some things. And first foremost, I would like to say I am doubling down. In fact, I'm going to triple down. I said after the LeBron sciatica is going to keep him out, he's not probably not going to be eligible for awards depending on when he returns. I was like, you know what? Putting in the early ticket for Alperen Şengün All-NBA. Buddy, I'm sitting pretty right now. If I actually had odds at that point, I feel like they went up. He was out here cooking. Like, he was distributing the ball really well, but like, who thought Alperen Şengün would shoot threes like this? I mean, I was keeping up with Eurobasket where he was doing this, and I was like, that's cute. I want to see it on the NBA floor. He was taking with confidence. He was taking deep threes, and them things weren't touching nothing but cotton. Shout out to NBC.
The biggest question I had for the Rockets going into the year was not about Kevin Durant's impact. It was going to be between Alperen Şengün and Amen Thompson, who took the biggest step forward over the course of this offseason. It stands to reason that Şengün, given that he played in Eurobasket, would be the one to take that big leap. But if you take a look at his numbers, Reggie, during Eurobasket, he wasn't really shooting from outside that often. He was definitely doing it more than we saw this past regular season. I did not see a 5-for-8 from outside game from Şengün coming this season, let alone in game one against the Oklahoma City Thunder and all that they bring to the table defensively. By the way, he also seemed to be doing whatever he wanted in the lane. His endurance seemed better. His strength seemed better.
Yep.
If we're talking about the same guy who definitely earned the respect of Draymond Green, which is a hard thing to do, but I think left some things to be desired in that series against the Warriors, he has grown a significant amount over the last couple of months. So, yeah, Reggie, you should have put in that ticket, bro.
Yeah, I should have. I'm not actually a betting man, so I was never going
to. I'm not either, but this is one of those things where it makes me feel like, especially now that I'm looking for work, I should have put in some money.
We're going to have some real-life alerts on this one today, baby, ain't we? I mean, the big thing for me, even bigger thing, rather, I should say, outside of the 5-for-8 from deep, which mattered a big deal, especially because if you're going to play this double big lineup, there's the possibility of everything kind of get clogged up.
Yeah.
He's a true stretch four now with that 5-of-8 from three, because I believe at that volume, with that, you know, that accuracy, this is going to be a thing, capitalized, exclamation point, all those things, as opposed to just a novelty in game one.
And he passes two, and we already knew that, and he right? has 7 assists too.
He's doing the baby Jokic thing, and we might need to drop the baby teenage Jokic thing. How about that?
Or
right?
maybe we just give him his own nickname.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Alperen Şengün. Workshopping it.
I'm not feeling
no?
it.
No? Okay, all right. I'll drop that one.
I feel like we got to do something that is turkey related.
Okay.
But I don't know what it is.
Fair enough. 10 of 11 from the free throw line.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And the Rockets team just generally, by and large, was shooting very well from the free throw line, barring at the end of the game. But like that is a huge, that is a huge night and day change from what it was last year. And you lost some games based on the hidden points that you left at the free throw line.
We're overreacting, of course, because it's one game, and who knows if this is something that
am I
holds track.
Am I?
Who knows if this lasts all season? I don't want to be the voice of reason too much, because it's fun to have a team that looks like it's actually got upside playing during the fall, because the Texans don't seem to be that team. Sorry, I keep taking shots at them. But I don't want to make too much out of one game. I will say it was nice to see, for the most part, Rockets players hit their free throws, except for that one by Kevin Durant. Ugh.
Yeah. Another thing that I felt like I learned, and I will admit I was a late adopter here. I was a laggard in getting there. The idea of the point guard play or whatever, I get that. This is going to be the best ball pressure you see of any team. Oklahoma City is notoriously very good at that, applying pressure, getting steals. They didn't really turn you over a crazy amount. You looked like you were searching it sometimes, and I think that that's going to come with time. Amen Thompson, my bad, brother. Like, he looks very comfortable. He looks aggressive. I thought teams would just sit underneath and, like, go under screens and not allow him to get downhill. He still got downhill. Like, I feel like there's something there, and I was not willing to get there until I saw it. I know people were like, no, it'll be able to do this. There's still definitely more work to be done there. But the proof of concept, like, it's there. And I felt like he handled the best ball pressure that you're going to see all season very, very well early on.
He's the most athletic player in the league. So you're not concerned about any of his ability to get to the rim. You are wondering, okay, though, as a distributor, How's he going to look? And, I mean, let's also be honest. There were times during this game, and it's not Amon Thompson's fault necessarily, where you're like, oh, yeah, they don't have Fred VanVleet anymore.
Sure.
The same Fred VanVleet that everybody should respect now after he was the only reason the Rockets were able to extend that series against the Warriors to 7. I saw a lot of slack for Fred VanVleet last season. I know he was making a lot of money. It sucks that he tore his ACL going into the year. I do look at Amon Thompson, and I'm wondering, at the end of the year, how many three-point shots a game is he going to take? 0-for-7, not great. Not great.
No, but last year I remember saying early on in the season, I just want him to be confident in taking
those. He did have the confidence.
Because he wasn't, you get the ball out there and he swings it, right? And there was a couple of moments where he did that in this game. Of course, he had taken a few at that point. He's going to need to knock a few of them because, you know, the ultimate game or end game you need to get to is you are credible, right? You're credible. You don't need to be a good one or a great
one. Somewhat respectable.
So that people have to consider you when you're out there on the perimeter. He's clearly not that yet, right? Yeah. That's very clear. Now, a lot of them are coming up short. You wonder, is it legs? Is it nerves? Is it something that he'll work into? But the confidence to take has to be there before you even start making. So I did appreciate that if you're going to be on the floor.
Yeah, you do need to do it from time to time. There is a line, you know, there's confidence. We've seen James Harden have 1-for-18 nights. We've seen James Harden have like 9-for-18 nights as well. And there's also overconfidence. If you've ever watched Along Came Polly, Philip Seymour Hoffman should have won an Oscar for this. Let it rain. There were moments where that was going through my mind, mainly because I just enjoyed that moment of Philip Seymour Hoffman's career, RIP. So I'm very curious at the end of the year, how many shots a game is he going to take?
I'm with you. I think that that'll normalize at some point, but I appreciated the confidence. Maybe this is just the
first game, you're playing the Thunder, the 100%, defending champs, 100%, national TV, Round Ball Rock.
I felt like you got to crunch time, and clearly you saw the effect of not having a man out there on the floor. I'm excited to see more. Yes, the cramping that he was dealing with, and maybe that's just he's going to need to get used to these big minutes with the added addition of not just
too, right?
Being on defense.
Off.
Yeah, with all those that additional work. I love seeing KD screening. I think that I'm starting to see more just offensive actions than they had last year, and I hope that that continues because it feels like they have more things to go to, especially when things get late.
Did you notice how many people were you yourself part of this? There were a lot of people that felt that were annoyed that Kevin Durant was getting looked off from time to time, as if Durant needs to get the ball every single time. How'd you feel about that?
It's a great point. I think that there were some instances where the look-off was frustrating because context
time,
always matters,
and
right?
And whenever it's Reed Shepard doing it, yeah, like, F that yeah. guy!
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was getting a little frustrated too, but it wasn't about me wanting him to just take over and shoot the ball. I'm like, man, he got to touch the ball at least. It seemed like it was just me. It seemed like they were looking away from him. I'm like, what's going on? You got Kevin Durant for this. But that was me overreacting.
Yes, I mean, I think that this is something that is a under-discussed portion of having a superstar, and it seems like it goes without saying, but no, you actually do have to say, hey, that dude is on your team. Get him the basketball, right? And Reed Shepard in particular has been working on in his young point guard journey, like, how do I look for my own shot and remain confident while also saying I need to distribute this ball? And it's not just I got teammates. You got Kevin bleeping Durant over there.
Yeah.
So you probably need to not take this pull-up midi. You probably need to maybe get the ball to him and see if there's a better opportunity. And if it comes back to you, then you get this shot up.
I feel for Reed. He's going to get crushed a lot at first.
He might get crushed later today. Who knows?
Right. I mean, Vanessa Richardson and I were talking about this on my podcast, and you just got to be patient with him because the only way that he can get better is if he continues to play, seeing as he didn't play that much last year. You know, he had some flashes during the preseason, but you're going to have to live with this being a probably nightly occurrence where Reed Shepard doesn't look like he belongs and just hope that by the end of the year that things get better.
Yeah, I think Reed, for me, I'm even more convinced that that's a bench guy and he needs to have a bench role as opposed to kind of some people were thinking, could he be a starter, especially with shooting? They probably need to actually work him a little bit more off ball, get him more to spot up shooting and maybe motion shooting. But I understood why they got him out there. There's a lot to try and suss out before you get to December 15th when you can even start to think about whether or not, or not start to think about, but before you can actually make any moves to change your roster. But one of 82, very interesting, competitive. There's some holes in there and some things that they're going to need to work on, but clearly they're still at that level where they're going to be able to compete with any team in the league. And the aspiration, It's alive and well, one game into the NBA season. In fact, we're just getting going here on a Wednesday in loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, now we will talk about the Texans. D'Amico Ryan spoke to the assembled media yesterday, and I felt like there was a contradiction that was running through his conversation. Let's talk about that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Next. Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Wednesday to you. Reginald Adetula, Paul Gallant.
What's up?
Sitting in for the OG John Lopez on this Wednesday. And, of course, Figgy Fig on the ones and twos. And you get involved on the text line, 713-572-4610. Saying all sorts of different things. Alperin means warrior. I did not cross-reference or check that, which I probably should have before I said that on air. But here we are. So maybe the nickname comes from there. Somebody talked about calling him the Turk Dirk or Young Turk.
I don't hate Turk Dirk.
It feels weird coming out of my mouth, though.
But it also,
you know,
it's close to turd.
Yeah, there's also some
close
of that.
To another thing, too.
Yeah.
And also, you're giving him a nickname that's based off of another player, and we want to give him his own nickname.
Right, that's the whole idea of not doing the baby Jokic thing.
But there's something that involves turkey. I feel like that's where I will start to come up with something corny, and then eventually I'll probably just steal a nickname that a listener comes up with.
Sure, 100%.
As we do.
That's how this works.
We'll credit you with the gold star that you can have in your mind forever.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And you can tell people about for whatever
it was my idea.
That's right. 713-572-4610 if you have those. I want to pivot to D'Amico Ryans, who talked to the assembled media yesterday. I think it was via Zoom, and we, you know, obviously the late night on Monday into a short week, headed into the Niners game in week 8. But look, there was questions that needed to be answered by the head coach of this team after what was, I will determine, is a woeful performance by his team. And it seemed to be that way, but there was a I don't know what's the right word to call it, Paul. Like, it felt like a contradiction of sorts with D'Amico and his answers that he was giving. And I'm interested if you agree with me. If you could help me out, Fig. This is D'Amico too. This was D'Amico talking about the status of the Texans offense right now. And listen to what D'Amico gave us.
Yeah, for us as collectively as a team, like, we
we have to do our jobs, right? If we expect to win, we have to do our job. Not offense was just on the offense, but it's all three phases. Guys have to do their job, and we have to do it at a high level. So that's the main reason. We didn't play up to the standard. We didn't execute how we needed to execute to win the game.
Didn't do our jobs. Okay. Can you give me cut six here as D'Amico was talking about the idea of cornerbacks? I thought this was a really interesting question by DJ Bieniemy because, look, Jaxon Smith-Njigba absolutely went off in this game. Yeah. And one of the things is he had free releases a lot of times. They gave him an opportunity, something that honestly I hadn't considered while watching the game. But you think back then, you go, huh, you probably want to get your hands on him, right? So why did the cornerbacks line off and kind of allow Jaxon Smith-Njigba free releases?
Yeah, our game plan was to, as I stated earlier in the week, to make sure we're aggressive, make sure we're getting hands on and playing them tight and sticky. That was our game plan.
Okay. So we had the game plan, not executed. Guys, we're not executing. Can you give me seven here, Figgy? I think you're determining the trend here.
Yes.
What's happened with the offensive struggles running the football in short situations, D'Amico?
Yeah, in short yardage on yesterday, like we got knocked off the ball. At the end of the day, if you want to move the ball, we have to be able to run the football and get a yard, right? But if we're getting knocked back up front, then we're not going to get a yard. So it all starts up front with displacing the line of scrimmage. We did not do that. Therefore, we were not successful at gaining a yard.
I mean, look, there's an accountability that's necessary from this team, 100%. Like, even the short yardage, I went back and I watched the few, like, real big short yardage situations that they had an opportunity to get. And there's a number of instances where you've got, like, a guard getting beat or a guard not going the right. Actually, it was Ariante Ursary on one play. You're running off to the right. It's inside zone right, I believe. How much you should be running inside zone with Byron Murphy there. That's a question.
Especially giving it to Woody Marks.
Ariante Ursary is going left. That allows, I believe it was linebacker Jones to go right through the gap and get a hand on Woody Marks before he even reaches the line of scrimmage, right? Like, there are a number of instances in those short yardages when it happened. I'm not saying D'Amico's wrong. But then D'Amico was asked about the offensive play calling, right? Is there any consideration for any shift there?
And for the most part, and some of the similar things that we've had over the past couple weeks, like it takes all 11, right? When it comes to we're getting pressure, making sure we hit our hot answer, making sure everybody's on the same page, getting the ball out quickly, getting the ball out on the edge, getting pocket movement passes. Those were similar things that we've had for the past 2 weeks. Some things we executed well. Some things we did not execute well. So I think the play calls and things are very similar. As the execution and the timing, how quickly we were operating, it wasn't the same.
I guess I picked the one wrong one there. But ultimately, he was talking about it and he said, you know, it all comes down to me. This is my call. And it's like, yo, I am ultimately, the buck stops here. And it feels like, does it? Because we're pointing to all the instances where there's a lack of execution and then ultimately saying the buck stops.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Starts with me.
Yeah, and you know, I'm also hearing things that I used to hear when I was back here at Sports Radio 610 back in the day. I'm hearing It's On Me. That was a Bill O'Brien tried and true staple. He kept on going back to that over and over again when there were specific parts of the team that were getting pointed at with questions from our local media.
Figgy loves that word relative to, or that phrase, I guess.
Things are not going great for him in Boston College, but things are also not going great for D'Amico Ryan's here right now, and it's frustrating hearing him answer questions with explanations as if we are toddlers, especially when he treats the offense in particular, unlike Kyemi Fairbairn, who he threw under the bus after Monday's game, yeah, and unlike Derek Stingley Jr., who he just threw under the bus with the two clips that he played. Whenever there's a question asked about the offense, he will bring things back to talking about the whole team. And look, hey, you're protecting your team. You're protecting that specific area of the team. But you cannot tell me with a straight face Monday night after that game that this was a team effort. The defense forced 4 takeaways.
They did.
They held the Seahawks to 2-for-14 on third down.
They did that as well.
I mean, you can't blame it on the parts of the team that were doing their job for the most part. Sure, there were some dumb penalties here and there. This offense has been crap. Outside of for 5 quarters, 4th quarter against the Titans. It took a while for that Titans game to get going.
That's right.
And the entirety of the game against a dead Baltimore Ravens team. He babies the offense. I can understand it. The rookie season of CJ Stroud, to a lesser extent, I could see it last year where he was gaslighting us about how they were doing some things well offensively. But now we're at a point where when he's asked about the offense, he is still deflecting. D'Amico, come on, man. It makes it seem like there's no accountability in this room, and maybe there isn't. I think it's fair to question if that's actually happening behind the scenes. If Derek Stingley, your best corner, is getting called out, and your kicker, who's been consistent for all these years, is getting called out, but this god-awful offense isn't.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that he's gotten to a point where he, because, you know, D'Amico's natural, his natural setting is, I'm going to protect my guys. It feels like he's gotten snippy, and as you mentioned, like, he threw Kyemi under the bus. Like, he's pointed to the idea that, no, this is the game plan. And Derek Stingley did not get up there and put his hands on him, whether that's just like going rogue or what have you. That's the implication that I seem to take away from it. I think that some of this is like, I want to try and shield the first-time offensive play caller. But here's the thing. This is why you don't hire a first-time offensive play caller for this circumstance, because the heat will come if and when there are problems, especially if there are problems to this degree. And so I understand the want to do that, but like you set this table, this stumbling block, for him, and now ultimately when he doesn't meet it, you're not getting there. And I think that I'm not saying that there's not an accountability, but almost it feels like it belies a level of lack of belief in the coordinator somewhat that he needs to be protected to this degree.
Yeah, it's almost patronizing.
Yeah.
I can hear it a little bit. I'm really curious what CJ Stroud, Dredgy, is going to say after we heard him on Monday night, because I felt like he was pointing fingers at the offense. Maybe I'm hearing things, and I think I'm going to play that audio at some point 100%. During the show. But it's going to be really interesting to see the rest of this season. Could a power struggle develop? Does CJ Stroud try to put pressure, like so many quarterbacks have put pressure on the organization, on this team, to actually make some changes for the offense? And how does D'Amico handle that? How does Nick Caserio handle that? Very curious, but I think right now you have D'Amico on one side who is really protecting the offense, and you've got C.J. Stroud pointing fingers, asking about maybe other game plans that they could watch on film, asking about if it's actually a offense that can work if it's always death by a thousand cuts. If they continue to struggle, and I mean, you're playing the 49ers on Sunday, and I hope the Texans are wearing battle red because there's going to be a lot of 49ers fans in attendance. They travel well.
They do.
So let's at least mask that if we can, or maybe it's too late. But this feels like it's just going to get worse and worse, and the feet are going to get more and more dug in between these two.
Yeah, I don't know if – like, I feel like I'm having a crisis of belief in D'Amico Ryans, a coach that I have for the longest time, I think for a lot of people, have looked at as that is a good coach. He brought you out of the mire of, you know, the Cully, Lovie, Smith kind of era of these things as you're trying to find your way. And the defense is always phenomenal. But there's been a number – I mean, I just keep going back to the idea that D'Amico Ryans sat and told us that he thought that rotating at left guard was the best way to get the best out of them. Almost as if to say, you can't allow them to play all the snaps of the game, which very much to me says you do not have an offensive lineman that you can trust, which I'm not even sure if it's true because it feels like Juice has done a good job in that circumstance. It is fascinating that we're at this place with D'Amico Ryans. And I want to circle back around to this because I want to see where everybody else is with D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah.
Because we're what, less than a year or maybe a year plus removed from where that dude could do no wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like he can do some wrong.
11 months ago, I asked, hey, what's his ceiling? And I asked it in a way where, hey, we're hearing the same things from him at every single press conference and where it feels like the team is not learning from their mistakes. They had, what, three players-only meetings in 2 weeks or something like that last year. And here we are almost a full calendar year later, and we're asking more of those same questions. D'Amico Ryans, the CEO, which I think is trying to be. I think there were some signs of that during the offseason where he was actually a little more hands-on with the offense in specific parts of training camp. I don't think that is getting the net change that we were all hoping to see on offense.
What's D'Amico's ceiling? We'll circle back around to that here as we continue in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next is time for the question of the day, inspired by a little bit of a recent news for a Los Angeles Laker who did not play last night. Who seems like the most fake athlete? Phony is a word that you can also use there if you want. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Let us know, and we'll talk about it next. Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Paul Gallant in for the OG, John Lopez.
Boy.
Seems like people are enjoying this.
I'm enjoying this.
Good. Well, that's the only thing that matters, right?
Yeah.
Just as long
it
as...
It is. You know, it's about me, Reggie.
I've noticed. I've taken that
give
in.
Give a damn what everybody else is.
Very early on in what's happening here.
Let me talk about my life and my cat and living under a bridge as I look for another job. Not actually happening.
Okay, good. I was a little concerned in that moment. Let's get to the question of the day here. Who seems like the most fake athlete? 713-572-4610. That is the number to text because... Recently, actually, I believe this was yesterday that we got this news. Russell Westbrook, who's bounced around the league, former Rocket, obviously, now with the Sacramento Kings because gross. But apparently there was news that came out that he really wasn't a fan of a particular thing with LeBron James.
Yeah, so from what I understand, there was some sort of meet and greet setup where LeBron was supposed to meet, along with the rest of the Lakers, Will Smith. But LeBron and Anthony Davis walked out. Rockets legend Patrick Beverley pointed out to Westbrook, who also wanted to walk out, that, hey, we have to stay. They don't because they won a championship. So they're there. And all of a sudden, after the Will Smith meet and greet with the Lakers begins, LeBron comes back. A Q&A session opens up, and LeBron just kept asking Will Smith question after question after question. And Russell Westbrook was like, what the hell? Because he had left only to come back 20 minutes into whatever Will Smith was doing.
Getting jiggy with it, I presume.
Right, and then making jokes and quoting his movies just like that, Reggie. He was saying things, I don't know, did he quote Wild Wild West or some of Millennium?
Most obscure Will Smith reference, 713-572-4610. Winner gets a shot.
Will Smith should have thrown him out like Jazzy Jeff.
Yeah, that's right. There we go. I like what we're doing there, Fig. So, yeah, like...
So that's Westbrook. What set up it, and I guess Reggie, Russell Westbrook talked to other players, and in this article, or in this book that was written, yeah, this is where he believed that LeBron James was fake, plus all the other things with, you know, the reading the book, the Godfather quoting.
Being three pages into Malcolm, to the autobiography of Malcolm X for ages on ages on ages on end. Yeah, like LeBron is a high seed in this particular game.
The one thing he got out of that book was he was a really, really deep man.
Mm-hmm.
Good man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all you got from that book.
Even though every time I saw him in that book, he was in the Detroit Red era of that. He was in he didn't get to the real
We all had to read that book in high school, right?
I actually didn't read it in high school.
You didn't read it?
I read it later.
I read it. It was really interesting. I mean, I'm if you're going to read, and I don't read as much as I used to, but I mean, I don't know, keep reading. It's pretty interesting.
Right. Like, I would actually prefer if LeBron James just kept holding that book over the entirety of his career, but eventually you saw him get deeper and deeper into it. Like, just a 22-year career where eventually he finished the book and had a takeaway.
Yeah, or like, just go 10 pages further the next time that you're in front of the media while they're recording you in the locker room as you look at your book.
Remember, kids, it's not how quickly you read. It's that you take the information, you retain it, you know? All right, so who's the fakest athlete? LeBron James, the number one seed. Toby on the YouTube. Russell Wilson.
I covered Russ in Seattle.
Okay, let me go ahead and isolate. What you got?
It's him. And it's funny.
Oh, without a question.
I think it's him. Personally, I think it's him because I remember I go up to Seattle and I'm like, why does everyone in Seattle seem to not like Russell Wilson? There's this push to let Russ cook, to give the offense over to Russell Wilson, which I think we've seen to a degree with CJ Stroud and the Texans offense from time to time. And I get up there and then people just kept on telling me all these interesting stories about him. I do think that Russell Wilson isn't a bad guy, but I also think that he goes out of his way to portray himself as this character that is very, very hollow. You talked about it when we were getting ready for the show, Reggie. Very politician-esque.
A whole pack of Badgers. It's the thing that sticks out with me. If you've watched Sunday Night Football where Russell Wilson is playing, when he says the school or whatever, you know, some people decide to shout out the high school, Ball So Hard University or whatever, but most of the time people will shout out the college. He played at two places. Started at NC State. They ultimately took his job from him and he transferred to Wisconsin, where he finished. Which team do you think he would pick? Wrong. He did not pick one. He says a whole pack of Badgers because NC State is the Wolfpack, Wisconsin, obviously the Badgers, and he's like, I must appease both of these constituencies in any given time because I cannot have anybody be mad at me.
Do you feel bad for people like this? Because to see Russell Wilson this week in response to Sean Payton, call out Sean Payton for his role in standing idly by while Bountygate happened with Greg Williams and the Saints, that's a little bit of authentic Russell Wilson that came out right there. And I wish athletes would feel more comfortable just being themselves. One of the reasons I like Durant, Kevin Durant, before he even came here, a lot of people gave him crap because, oh, you're too online. I don't know. I think he's pretty funny when he comes back and claps back at all the haters, if you will. So do you feel bad for guys like this that are always putting on that show?
I mean,
a little bit.
In a way, because it feels like you could tell they feel like they had to. Like, Kevin Durant is a great one because people think about him being on social media, the burners, or like that thought process. Before that, I remember Kevin Durant early in his game, right, early in his OKC time, where the one thing that he did that peeved me to no end, the coldest nickname was provided to him in Slim Reaper, right?
One.
That is one of the best nicknames I've ever seen given to an athlete, bar none. And he was like, no, thank you. I would prefer to be called the servant because he felt like he needed to have this pious identity. You don't remember this, Paul?
I don't.
You don't remember the servant? This is
oh god.
This
that's
one offended.
Awful.
This one offended my sensibilities. If you can't tell,
oh, that's terrible. I thought it was because he's like me. He's maybe a little bit self-conscious about being skinny, like the person who texted in 40 minutes ago about my runner arms. Son of a biscuit.
No, but I think that he was at a point in his career where he was just like, I need to be, you know, good, wholesome. I don't want to offend anybody. And I think that he was boxed in because he felt like this is what you have to do. You have to have this polish in order to be, you know, a star. And I think at some point when he was looking for that validation and eventually people didn't give it to him, especially after he moved to Golden State, he's like, all right, well, then bleep y'all. I'm going to be myself fully. And what you find out is being yourself, you got a lot of people that will ride with you. Now, there's going to be people that don't like you, but you weren't going to be able to get those folks. I do feel for Russ in this way, is it feels like this is a lot closer to him than I want to give him credit for. But then also, he can't escape it. Like, this is, although apparently he escaped it a little bit. You were mentioning, Russell
Wilson.
Just for
a moment with Sean Payton, and Sean Payton took another shot at Russ and Russ fired back?
Yeah, Russ fired back. We played the audio of Sean Payton earlier in the week.
Okay.
Basically talking about how he was hoping that the Jackson Dart switch would happen later on.
And by the way,
in the season.
Even Brian Daboll felt that way. Brian Daboll's like in the concussion tent. It's like, hey, Jackson, we need you back out there. I don't care if your brains are scrambled eggs. Get the hell out there. I don't want to see another throw of Russell Wilson.
He said, I'll get you some salt, some pepper, and some Cholula to make sure that the eggs are good. Get out here. Everybody's with this. I've said it openly. I actually do feel bad for someone who all your coworkers openly disdain you like this. Like, I no, who else has to go through this?
And they probably don't tell them to their face ever, too. It's a disdain. Oh,
the way that this is happening, they're kind of telling him to his face.
Now they finally are. I think when he was good, though, and I think that might have been one of the things in Seattle that was really interesting, there would be some players that spoke up about it, but there were a lot of players who didn't say anything about it but did feel the same way that Richard Sherman felt about Russ.
Yeah, and well, Richard Sherman made it clear. Anyways, to finally pay off on this, Russell Wilson tweeted, classless, but not surprised. Didn't realize you're still bounty hunting 15 years later through the media. Smiling face emoji, laughing emoji, hashtag let's ride, which I thought he left in Denver, but okay. I am surprised that he actually felt the comfort to be able to do this. Like, he is a lot later on the scale. Like, his career is not going to go very much longer.
Probably.
I thought he would have found a little bit of this bravado earlier on.
Yeah, but you got to be good to actually do it, unless it's Sean Payton for whatever reason. He and Sean Payton do not get along. Interesting nominations, Reggie. Someone says Dylan Brooks, not a villain. Is that fake?
I don't think it's fully fake. I just don't know if he embodies it as much, or if he embodies it as much as he could. I think he really does feel himself to be, he's an annoyance. Like, he's a pest at the very least. He wants to be a full villain, and I don't know how much he can handle it. But there are some people that want to be the villain. Sorry to keep bringing up KD. Eventually, I'm going to be a subject of a tweet if I'm so lucky. But, yeah, there was a point in time where, actually, not KD. I'll take it to LeBron. Remember when LeBron went to Miami?
Tried hard.
And he was like, well, I'll be the villain if y'all want me to. No, you don't. You clearly don't want this. You clearly want to be loved. And I think Dylan Brooks is somewhere in the middle of that spectrum where I don't think that he needs the love, but I also don't think he's willing to go full, I don't care what y'all think about me. You know, I feel like there's somewhere in there for him there. Someone brought up, they said Lakin Tomlinson. What makes Lakin Tomlinson fake?
Well, he's not a starter.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's that. I don't know.
Michael Jordan is actually a really interesting answer because I don't think he's fake at all. I think he's just a psychopath.
Right? We talked about that before the show. There are some of those stories I wonder about. Does he ham it up a little bit? Does he add a little tall tales to all the things that he talks about because of all the mythology that's behind him?
If anything, the only fake stuff where I think he's fake is when he like gets out here and actually gives us a little bit of a like elder statesman, which is very, very rare and in small doses to the point where I'm like, well, we know what this is. Mm-hmm, we know he has to do this. Keep those coming in. 713-57, that was nasty. 713-572-4610, that's the number to text. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL. Where is the NFL finally going to get rid of this thing that they've been trying to get rid of? Let's talk about that and more next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus doorbusters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.